Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I'm joined by Karen from ParentPing, which is an app that helps daily life for parents. And Karen is a mother of two. So thank you very much for coming on, Karen.
Oh, thanks for the invite. Really looking forward to it.
So do you want to tell me and everyone what ParentPing is and how it come about?
Yeah, I'd love to. So ParentPing is a daily app for parents. You download it completely free from your app store or your Play store. Fill in a couple of details to get going, but not too much. And then what happens is each day you get sent three questions, and they could be about what's happened in your kid's school that day. They could be about your opinion on something parent related that's been in the news, or it could be just something like how home life's going, like who was the person who was responsible for stacking the dishwasher yesterday. Can be anything, you know, some quite serious important stuff or some quite light-hearted stuff. You give your views, and then you go through and you get to see what everyone else has answered on the previous day's questions. So you get to kind of see, am I normal? Am I doing parenting the same way as everyone else, or am I doing stuff a bit differently? And we also provide a link to a daily read, so like an article or a blog or maybe a podcast that we think might help with the parenting life. And that's it. Yeah. It takes like 2 minutes, takes the amount of time it takes to boil a kettle. But the parents tell us it's really helpful and it's really been helping them. Particularly during the pandemic when parenting has been kind of a bit lonely sometimes.
Yeah. And you don't know what the hell you're doing for 90% of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I certainly didn't. But yeah, it sounds as if it'd be like a good sort of sounding board without actually having to sound off, like checking that, oh, but exactly. I'm not the only person who feels like this.
Yeah, but without kind of the pressure that some of the social media sites or some of the more kind of longer running forums, like, you know, if you post on some of those forums and you say,
yeah, and you get
attacked. My kid go to bed? You're like, whoa, everyone's got an opinion on this. Here we can say, what time does your kid go to bed? And the next day we can look at what time all the kids go to bed. And it's as simple as that. You don't get judged on this.
Yeah.
You
just get a bit of an aid as well. Because I suppose like on Instagram, I see a lot of the time, more so on Instagram on stories, I don't know, someone saying, asking a question of how would you change baby's bot? Like, when would you change the feed or when would you stop breastfeeding? And you do, like, you'll get people who will be really nice and supportive. And then you'll get people who are very judgmental and know it all. And that's fine. At the end of the day, you've got different people, haven't you? You're going to get different answers. But on that type of environment, it's a lot more safe, isn't it? To like just see it rather than having to like actually interact with it. So how did it begin then? So where did it come from? And have you got an MBA?
I have got an MBA.
I need to know about that, but answer that first. Right. So what, tell me like where, like how did it all, what were you doing? Like, how have you got to the place where you are now?
Yeah. So it's a little bit interrelated. So I've always been an education researcher, like I went to university and did a degree in education, but I didn't want to be a teacher. So I've worked as an education researcher in different charities and for different organisations over the years. And just before lockdown last year, I was working in a charity for children with special educational needs. And then like lots of people, when the pandemic hit, I got furloughed. And whilst that might have, there could have been some good sides to that, you know, I had to look after my kids and homeschool them and everything, but actually I like to keep super busy. So I tweeted out, help, I'm the type of person who likes to read Ofsted reports for fun, what am I meant to do now? And to cut a long story short, I heard from the people who run an app called Teacher Tap, which is the same as what ParentPing does, but they'd been doing Teacher Tap for the last 3 years. And they were like, now that schools have closed, we need to know what's going on at home. And we've got some funding to set up this new app called ParentPing. Will you come and run that for us? Will you set it up for us? So I jumped on that.
Great.
Yeah. And that's also, the MBE is related to that as well. So the other person who got in touch on that tweet was a guy called Matt Hood, who set up Oak National Academy, which was the online school that was set up just in a couple of weeks when the first lockdown happened. And Matt also saw this tweet, and he reached out and said, come and set up the special school for us. So I set up the provision for children who have a special educational need, and normally in a special school that deals particularly for their type of need. So we rallied all of the different sort of teachers and therapists that you might normally have in a special school and put together a curriculum for those children to access.
So you just kept a little bit busy then during lockdown?
Yeah.
Jesus. Went from doing absolutely shite all to doing non-stop.
I know. And trying to educate my own kids at the same time.
My God. That's amazing. That though. Did it go viral, the tweet?
Not particularly, no.
I
have quite a sort of tight network on Twitter of people who work in the education sector. So these are all kind of people who know each other.
Brilliant, that though. What a good power. This is where social media is brilliant, when things like that.
Oh, it really is, yeah. And I've got my last couple of jobs through people I've kind of known on Twitter. So certainly as a kind of professional network, I completely value it. So the work I was doing on Oak was just voluntary. I was just doing that for free to keep busy, because I like that. But then, you know, I also got this job running Parenting out of it. So yeah.
Well, how did you manage to, run? I'm presuming you've always worked having children. Have you always worked full time?
I have, yeah. I took about 6 months of maternity leave with my first child, and between you and me, I found that really boring. It didn't really suit me terribly well. I enjoyed my second one much more. It was a shorter maternity leave, but also I was doing stuff that was more related to the older kid. The baby just got taken wherever we were going. And I kept my hand in a bit more with work on that second one as well.
Yeah, I think with the second one, I felt similar, because you sort of know what you're doing, and how fast it goes the first time round. It doesn't really, you don't really understand what the hell you're doing, or why you're doing it. The second one, you're like, oh yeah, I get it now. This is what I need to do, and this is where I need to go to keep entertained and sane at the same time.
Yeah, and you don't panic as much, If the routine gets a little bit skewed. I was so routine driven on the first one. You know, if something worked, then that kind of became my routine, and I would not deviate from it. But on the second one, I got far more relaxed, and that was better with hindsight. But you do what you do to get through.
And then on your third, you're basically asleep the entire time. Closing your eyes.
Word for that one.
Seeing what happens. So how have you managed then? How have you managed working full time and having children, balancing a career and being a mum?
I like to think, or at least this is how I like to tell myself, that I want them to see me as a working role model. My daughter said the other day, so she's 9, and she said, I like to keep busy like mummy likes to keep busy. So she's heard me saying this stuff so much. But what I think has actually become harder in the last year or so is that now I'm home-based doing the work, that they come home from school at 3:30 or whatever, and they want me to interact and play. And I'm like, but my working day kind of ends at 5:00 or, I can have some flexibility, but those last couple of hours of the day are a bit tougher when they think that they've finished for the day and I haven't quite finished. That's my challenge at the moment.
It is hard, that though, because it's it gets spoke about quite often on these episodes, especially since the pandemic, is that technically your home is still your office now, for a lot of people, or for me, if I'm on my phone a lot, that's how people get in touch with me, is through my phone. Yeah. So it's you're on your phone. Well, if I wasn't on my phone, I'd be in an office somewhere. I'm working, but I'm at home. But they don't understand, do they? We moved recently, and before I was just either working in the kitchen or working in a loft, but it was still a room. And they just come up at any time and just be obviously they didn't know the difference. But this in this new house, I've got an actual office. And I thought, oh, that'll be better. I've put like an office sign on the door so they know mm-hmm. it's the office.
You go to work.
Yeah. So it's a little bit better because there's more of an actual boundary. Mm-hmm. But they're still like, it's glass door. So they're still like poking right over the door and they're like knocking like this. And I'm like, oh, bless. And then you feel guilty. Like, I hear you. My husband will bring them in when he's off work and I can hear them saying, oh, like saying, I want to show mummy. Mm-hmm. He goes, no, mummy's working. And I'll go, no, they're all right. Like, tell them to come in. Because I think, oh, bless him. Like, they want to come in and see me. And they think that he's going, no, she's at work. But
yeah,
it's hard because if you were in an office, they would know. Oh, mum's not, like, where's mum? She's not home from work. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like having that physical gap, which you don't get anymore, which yeah. is hard to manage.
It is. But then on the plus side, I've got like 2 to 4 hours of my day back where I'm not commuting anymore. Yeah. So, you know, there's other advantages. You know, I get through the laundry during the week rather than having to spend my entire weekend doing washing.
Yeah.
You know, little bits and pieces where I do appreciate the flexibility. I like it this way around, actually.
Just something's been playing in my head the last couple of days. What's your take on like keeping a clean house on top of your washing, on top of your ironing, having everything like bang on perfect? Yeah. Like, because I've always been a bit like, and a lot of my friends have, obsessive with, oh, like if your house isn't clean and tidy, it's a mess, and or like the clothes aren't put away or the washing's not sorted out. And I think the last couple of days I've thought, you know what, sod it. I'm like, it's never going to stop. It's never and like while the weather's been nice, mm-hmm. whilst I would normally on the weekend we'd be tidying around or doing the odd bits you haven't had time to do, we haven't. We've just sat in the garden and I've thought, yeah. this is so much nicer. And like, why do we care so much?
Yeah, I laugh when you ask the question because I'm literally surrounded by the washing. The laundry has been my daughter's job. It's my son's job because he's only 6. So his job is to bring the laundry bags upstairs to be put away. And then my daughter sorts it into piles and then everyone's responsible for their own piles. But at the moment, I'm literally surrounded by those piles. So my attitude is relatively relaxed, to be honest. And there is a small benefit from the pandemic and the isolation in that no one else comes to your house.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's only you that knows nowadays.
Yeah, it's true actually. But it is stupid, isn't it? Like all that time that you spend fannying on and stressing out about making sure all the clothes are in, oh, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. And it's like, really, like, if why not just enjoy, you know, it's going to keep coming anyway. It's always going to be there.
Just let it
pile up and do it in one big go rather than running around like a blue-ass fly all the time trying to make sure it's perfect. Do you know what I mean? It's like trying to...
Totally.
I've just been sat... It was when I was getting burnt in the garden. I was sat and I was thinking, like, what do you actually achieve from doing that? No one gives you a badge or says, well done. And all you actually achieve is that you don't relax or enjoy actually like being in the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're always...
I'm always nagging as well. That's the other side of it. I'm always nagging my husband or my kids to do stuff or getting annoyed, like internally annoyed that they're not doing stuff and I'm going around doing it. So yeah, I'm sure there's something to be said for just
doesn't really matter, does it? So I'm glad you feel like that as well, because I think I've had an epiphany. I'm just going to start thinking sod it a bit more, because it's too much carrying on for not enough reward, really, isn't it? Like, it still comes back again, so what's the point? So in terms of managing the kids, like, do you have help like with like childcare like previous to the pandemic, or like how have you got through life with the children?
Well, I guess the biggest benefit that I have at the moment is that my husband is a teacher. So he has school holidays. He finishes his day around the same time as them. So it's a nice split and kind of like who's there for the kids. And certainly when I used to like commute into London and that. So he was doing all the sort of school runs and things before. But other than that, no, we don't really have any additional help. We don't have a lot of family local or anything like that, we seem to make do all right, especially with the kids.
And so come on then, how, tell me the MBA, like, I want to know the process and what happens when you get an MBA.
Well, I don't know the end of the process yet. So like, it only happened at this last new year, so like December 2020, and sort of like the beginning of December or so, I got a phone call of someone saying, "What's your email address?" I'm like, "Who are you? Why do you want to know my email address?" And he was like, "I'm from the honours system. I need to know your email address." I'm like, "Okay. If you ever want to commit a fraud and get someone's email address, that's probably quite a good thing to make." I gave it over. And so then they send you an email and say, we're thinking about giving you this honour. Would you accept it? Because obviously some people don't choose not to accept it. Yeah. Because it's all a bit, it can be a bit colonial or a bit like, if you don't believe in the monarchy or whatever, then you don't accept it. But I was like, I think I'll accept that. For my mum, if nothing else, my mum's dead chuffed. You fill in a little form, giving your proper name and your email and everything. And that's it. It goes quiet. And you're like, did I dream that? And then on the day before New Year's Eve, there's this completely random newspaper that I've never heard of. Like, what's it called? Like the Court Gazette or something. And that's where it gets listed and everyone's name is listed in there. And that's kind of as far as I've got down the process. You don't hear anything for ages after that. I got a letter about a month ago explaining there's a backlog, as you'd expect, in kind of the actual ceremony.
So did you get to go meet the Queen?
Well, that was what the letter was about. So with the backlog, they gave me the offer that I can go to the ceremony, but I could only take one guest, and it would be social distanced and all of that sort of thing, and they can't quite guarantee what it would be like. Or I can go to a garden party, one of the Queen's garden parties, and I can take three friends.
Never.
Which is so I'm like, I went for the garden party. Yeah. I spent ages thinking about it, but want to take my mum.
Pims and cucumber sandwiches.
Well, exactly.
Pims and cucumber sandwiches.
Yes. Yeah, and to be able to take my mum.
So was
although,
she
actually, she doesn't know that yet. If she listens to this podcast, this will be the first she hears of it.
Oh, I've been you'll be lucky, mum.
So I'm going to see her for the first time in about a year, in a couple of weeks' time. We'll go up with the kids. No. So we saw her last summer, and that was the last time because of all the lockdowns and Christmas and everything.
Oh my God. Oh, we'll have to tell her not to listen to this then. Bloody hell. But waited a full year. You need to see her face when you tell her. Yes. That's amazing. So when the garden party is?
It won't be till next year. But that'll hopefully be nicer because we won't have all the masks and everything, hopefully, touch wood.
So what did you get it for? What was the MBE for?
It's for services to special educational needs. So it's the work I did for the Oak National Academy, setting up a special school.
Oh, that's amazing. What an honour. I'm jealous. I want one.
Lovely. I feel like such an imposter as well because, like, last year, like, in education, it was crazy, you know. What the teachers were doing, what the heads, you know, the head teachers who were like literally going around giving food to kids who didn't have enough to eat.
Yeah.
And they haven't got an MBE yet. And I have.
But that doesn't mean you don't deserve it. But yeah.
I just think loads more people deserve it then.
Well, that's obviously because you're a very nice person. I'd be absolutely buzzing and not thinking about anybody else. I'm going to meet the Queen. That's unbelievable. But no, like, education was proper hit. Like, I went into school a couple of months ago and I said it's they've never stopped really. They've worked.
No, they haven't.
Obviously because they're on salary. They don't get paid any extra for it. Like, they're genuinely just doing it because the care, like, the work, they were working from home and from school. They were doing two sets of jobs, weren't they, in one?
Yeah, no, they've done an absolutely amazing job. Over the last, like, 18 months, it's been non-stop for them. Like, the secondary school teachers have had to deal with all the craziness around the exam situations. Everyone's, like, had a horrible year, but I think a particular shout out for the teachers because they get a bit forgotten. We haven't been clapping for them on the doorstep.
I actually did think that when I went. I didn't come into my brain, even though we were working from home and the children were at home, that obviously there was still kids going into school as well. So they were setting the children up for homeschooling, marking, and then doing the the kids who are at the school as well. So
I've
had a hell of a lot to do, like.
Yeah. And we've asked on parenting, we asked what parents thought about it. And the vast majority said that they thought that the schools have done an amazing job, a good or outstanding job. Actually, it was one of the newspapers asked us to put that question in. And what the story the newspaper was trying to get was schools are terrible. Parents think that schools are doing a terrible job. But we found actually completely the opposite, that the parents think the schools have done an amazing job. So it was quite interesting that that story didn't get into the paper, unfortunately.
Oh, well, so what, in terms of like you and your career so far, what has been the most difficult part of it?
I don't know. Getting furloughed like really hit me, to be honest, because I really do live to work. You know, my husband, the teacher, if he'd have got furloughed, he'd have loved it. He'd have loved to sat around for a couple of months, you know, looking after our kids and doing the homeschooling and not having to worry about work. But for me, it doesn't sit right. I've always worked and taken on like extra projects. I do other stuff as well, like school governor, and I sit on the panel for when your kid doesn't get into the school you want and you make an appeal. I sit on that appeal panel. So I don't just work, I do extra work for fun as well. So yeah, getting furloughed was kind of, it hit me quite hard.
So what were you doing? What was it? So if you're not, what were you doing? Was it like,
So I was the director of operations of a charity that focused on literacy for children with special educational needs, so like dyslexia and things.
Right.
But we did lots of work where we kind of went into schools and supported schools. So when the pandemic hit, I was kind of in charge of like the buildings and some of the HR stuff and the marketing. And they're like, no, this isn't important anymore. Which, to be honest, wasn't a decision I agreed with either. So I found that quite tough.
Why haven't you, like, sorry to be like nosy, but obviously you've done so much in education. Why didn't you want to be a teacher?
That's a great question. I didn't think I'd be any good at it. In fact, I still don't think I'd be any good at it. I'm not patient.
Oh, I will. Karen, you must be patient to do all them jobs. Like, don't tell
me it's the opposite. It's the keeping busy all the time, wanting like results and delivery all the time. I don't think, and I know from trying to home educate my own kids, I couldn't do that all day. And I also couldn't deal with some of the red tape and all of the stuff they put around education. So I like to kind of support it in my own way, but yeah, not standing in front of a class of 30 kids, thank you.
No, I couldn't do it, like, no way. Homeschooling was bloody, literally, especially when you're working as well. Like, I think they were obviously setting things and saying the children can get on with it themselves, but naturally you feel awful leaving, like, especially like one of them was six. Like, Jackson, my eldest, was all right, but six-year-old, mm-hmm. didn't leave six-year-old like on his own to do it. And you felt bad, but then some of the stuff, genuinely, I don't know whether I'm just a bit thick or whether it's just because I haven't been doing it for it, obviously, years, but I couldn't understand half the things that they're asking of Jackson, the questions. I thought, what?
Yeah.
It's so, like, obviously, it's good because it made me realise Jackson wasn't falling behind because the things he was learning, I was like, oh, my God, I don't even understand this. And I just tell my husband, what does that mean? You go, not a clue. Like, it's weird the way... I know what I'm trying to say, but I don't know how to say it. Like, when you're in school, you get that them types of questions. Like, but the type of education you get when you're in school, you sort of forget it when you leave school, them types of questions and the way it's set out. It's like they're trying to trick you all the time and they're constantly overwhelming. Like, I was failing dramatically. I was terrible at homeschooling. I was really bad.
But that's what we found on parenting as well. So every day during lockdown, we were asking questions about this. And we did a big report that came out just the other week. And we like looked at who had found it the hardest. And parents who had kids in reception found it hardest because, like you say, you couldn't just leave them. And single parents, they struggled more than others, and big families. So that kind of just being outnumbered thing made it tougher. But we also found that some parents found it hard to felt, they kind of beat themselves up, like you were just doing, beat themselves up about not being able to understand it. But who that was really varied. So sometimes it was parents who hadn't done their GCSEs, but sometimes it was parents with doctorates and who'd been all through university and everything, and there was no difference. All sorts of people found it difficult to kind of understand the schoolwork. It's not about your own education. I think it's just a willingness to stand up and say, I don't get this.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it's those stupid questions that are the most revealing.
Oh my God, they probably stumped me quite a lot. I was like, well, we'll skip that one. And then I just kept finding myself, like Jackson's like, we've skipped quite a lot, Mom. And I was like, it's okay. Okay, get to the bit, where's your artwork? Where's your artwork? We'll do that. What does it, so in terms of the parenting, like the app, right, is it just random, like the things, like, because I'm, give me like an overview of what's on there, like day to day, like what type of audience is it, like from babies, or is it for school, or like especially kids leaving school now, what's on there, like in the 6 weeks, for example?
Yeah, so it's not so much for babies, it's for kind of school age children, because there's quite a lot of stuff out there for babies and support networks for mums and dads who've got the young ones. So this is focused on the kind of school age ones. And we ask all sorts of things. So today the questions are about what your kid can do. So can they sew a button on? Can they make scrambled eggs? Can they...
can they sew a button on? I can't sew a button on.
Well, that's exactly it, because that was our second question. Can you do these things?
I can't sew a button on. I don't know if someone did teach me, but I certainly couldn't do it. Now I take it to see my grandma.
Yeah, my husband does the sewing. So there's questions like that. Yesterday's questions were about more about the summer holidays, and actually we've got this whole big campaign coming up about the summer holidays. That it would be absolutely amazing if your listeners could download the app and join in. So we're calling it the Parent Ping Summer Survey, and it comes about because, you know, everyone's talking about kids need to catch up, and they say like they need to catch up on their schoolwork, or they need to catch up on their socializing and mental health, or they need to catch up on their exercise, whatever. Everyone thinks they need to catch up on something, and the only thing I'm seeing in common is that everyone says they need to do this catching up over the summer holidays. So what we want to know is what's actually happening this summer holiday. What are parents doing with their kids? How much childcare support are they having to draw on? Are kids going to their grandparents? Are kids going to clubs? Are the older kids working? What's actually going on this summer? So we really, really want to know what this summer looks like. And we're going to report that back to the parents, because you all get to see the results every day. But also we're going to tell like government and charities about what's going on as well, because that's something that we feel like we can really help to be a voice for all of the parents. By like everyone answering the same questions, we can get some really amazing data that can help the government make their plans for the next steps around recovery, and that whether it's learning loss or whether it's socialization, whatever kids need, we need parents to tell us this summer.
Yeah, and it's going to be hopefully, touch wood, it's going to be a really good summer for families, considering that last summer was took away in terms of, you know, doing normal things in these 6 weeks. They were on holiday to them, felt like a hell of a long time, like not being at school. So like, man, are excited to be breaking up, because they've had that bit of normality and routine. Whereas when they were going back, they couldn't, do you know what I mean? Like they couldn't wait to go back. So like we're going to Scotland, and we're going to, I think we're going to go to Cornwall as well, just because obviously we're not taking the risk of going abroad just with everything. But I'm excited as well. Like I'm excited for them to be off to spend some actual time with them, not in the house, like going and doing things and having a bit of normality with obviously everything going back to normal, hopefully this week.
Yeah. We asked about it on Parent Ping yesterday, and there's a small proportion of parents who are actually dreading the holidays. And there's quite a lot who think that this year is going to be worse than last year. That they're quite kind of nervous about what's going to happen. But there's lots that have booked loads of stuff as well. I've booked loads of stuff.
Have you?
But that does make me a bit nervous though, that, you know, you know, the slightest cough and are we going to have to cancel?
Do you think, what's your thoughts on us going back into lockdown?
I don't know. We checked on the app whether parents think they're going to have to homeschool again, and it's still about 30% of parents think that's likely. We asked the same question last year and it was about 60%. So yeah, they're pretty good at predicting these things.
I hope to God we don't, like, but I don't know, just the amount.
It depends, I think, on the longer term. Because what worries me as a mum is that we don't know the effects of long COVID. Because it seems like kids can catch COVID, and it seems to me a bit like maybe it's the government's plan that the kids should catch COVID. But what we don't really know is the long COVID, and is there going to be long-term implications for their health? That's the bit that worries me at the moment.
Yeah, it is a bit, I still feel very, like, I don't feel confident in what's going on about it. Like, I don't, this whole, you know, everything's going to go back to normal. I don't see it, to be honest. I don't want to think it, but my gut's telling me that it's not finished yet. And I'm hoping that we get the summer at least a bit of normality, because obviously last summer we were all stuck in, but it'd just be nice to just do, like, everyone, especially, I feel so bad for everyone, but especially people who've got, like, under fours, you know, where, like, all them things you did when the kids, like, the first times they were doing things. And I was thinking the other day, like, oh, there's so much we haven't done with Alba that I'd love that we would have done last year, and it's been held off a year. And I'm trying to think, like I said, about, you know, like, taking it, like, Disneyland or something, or where the princess, she loves all the princesses. And I think, I said to my husband, I don't think we'll get there, but I'm worried we'll miss that, you know, that little...
The window.
Like, window of, like, where they believe in everything, and everything's still, like, so, oh my God, like, I'm scared we're going to miss it because of all the lockdowns. And at what point are they just going to say, we have to live, you know, it's here, we have to live with it. Like, it's... I don't know.
All those kids who've missed their rite of passage, you know, the ones, like, who've missed their proms, and, you know, they're leaving dues, even just, like, leaving primary school and having everyone write on the back of your shirt and that. There's kids that have missed that as well. It's
all our schools, Jackson School's done exactly that. They're year six, had to isolate in the last, so they've missed it. So they haven't said goodbye and stuff, and it's dead sad, but it can't be helped. But I just hope... I'd like to think that this summer we'll get to make some nice memories, because it just feels like this past 2 years, it's nearly 2 years now, isn't it? Like, is it 8 months? 8 months?
Yeah, getting.
You feel like it's like
feels like forever, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, I can't remember when it started or when it's good. Like, cause obviously it hasn't stopped. Like, when it started, very weird. I just hope we get some normality soon. So, what's the plan in terms of parenting? Like, where will it go? The next, like, what's the vision for it?
Well, for now it's all focused on the summer survey, to try and get loads of parents joining in with that, to feed back to parents each day. I write a blog each week as well. We break down, so we know, like, whether you're a mum or a dad and whether you've got kids in primary school or secondary school. So we do a bit of extra analysis each week and report that back to kind of show who's answering it in the different ways. And like I say, at the end of the summer, I'll write a report that we'll share with government. So I know that they listen, because when we were asking questions during lockdown, they used some of the data from that in their roadmap out of lockdown.
That's brilliant.
So hopefully we can make a difference again.
Well, I hope the listeners do download, like, even just for, like, to feel as if, you know, you've got some normality in terms of the way you think, because it is nice to see others feel the same way, and if it can help towards what the government are doing, listening. So what, if for you as a mother, if your children could learn something from you, what would you like them to take from you?
I'd like them to have a good work ethic, to enjoy work. I mean, I think probably that's what underlies it, that I enjoy doing what I do. I enjoy my job. I enjoy being busy. You know, that kind of, when they ask, do you live to work or work to live? It's both for me. I'd love it if they can have lives like that as well.
Yeah, and enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's nothing worse. Like, my friend's going through something similar, and she's, you know, she's struggling with what she should be doing, and it's that constant not everyone feels like that, but some people know what they want to do from being young and they just know it and they grow into it and it's amazing that they get that. And then you've got some people who never know what they want to do. And then you get people who are trying to do something that they think is they should be doing because it sounds good or it makes them feel as if they've been done good enough or they've been successful. And like ultimately, as long as you're happy. Like I never grew up thinking I can't wait to be an insurance broker. Like that wasn't my plan. And I didn't start insurance thinking I'm gonna love it. I started it with wanting some like flexibility, but I absolutely love it. And now all I say to everyone is the difference it makes on your life when you do something you enjoy is unbelievable. Like you're doing it for 50 odd years, like make sure it's taking up 70% of your life. So whatever you do and make sure you enjoy it. That should be the first thing before anything else.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You obviously love what you do.
Yeah. And I guess not to like feel that what you're going to do one thing forever and ever. So whilst I've been in the education sector and I've been in research for a long time, I've always been kind of moving around and trying different things. And like I say, there's kind of social media and the networks that I've made that allow me to have different opportunities. It keeps it really enjoyable.
Well, I think it's amazing what you've done in especially bloody hell, what you've done since during the pandemic. Unbelievable. And can't believe you're going to go and have a garden party with the Queen. So please let me know how it goes, because I'm very intrigued.
I will. I'll send you a picture of the hat.
But if people want to find you or they want to find, like, how do they interact with Parenting, just so, like, you know what to do?
So Parenting is on the Play Store and on the App Store. So just search it and it comes up. It's top of the list. We're also on all the main social channels as well, as @Parenting or @_Parenting. You'll find us pretty easily.
Brilliant. Right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. And I hope you continue doing what you do, because it is really good. And it's amazing that you enjoy it as well. So, yeah, keep going.
Aww. Thank you.